Good morning to each of you. I bring you greetings in the name of our precious Savior who is able to make all things well for us. And praise God that we have a Savior who can do that for us. It gives us courage in the journey as we face hard times. Think about our God and our Savior who is able to take us on. Well, my wife is not here with us today. We had a small addition to our family about a week and a half ago, so she is at home with Carson. Everybody's doing very well. We are very grateful. So that's why she is not here with us today. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 107 this morning for a message. I guess my thoughts continue down the way that Brother Cliff was thinking this morning. And so we'll continue those train of thoughts and hopefully gain something for our souls to feed us, to encourage us, to help us. Because I need that, and we all need that. Before we read this psalm, I'd just like to point something out to us. We have the first three verses as an introduction to this psalm. And then we have four little stories that follow this introduction that reflect back to the truth of verses 1 and 3, 1 through 3. So we have verses 4 through 9, and then 10 through 15, or 16, and then 17 through 22, and 23 through 32. And so as we read this psalm, I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but just those verses through 32. Think about verses 1 through 3, and then think about the little stories that follow, and think back how it reflects the truth. And the psalmist is wanting us to think about what the Lord has done for us. Psalm 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works, the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And we'll stop our reading there. What is this psalm? This is a psalm of thanksgiving. That's what it is. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is talking to us, and our brother read this verse in Sunday school. But Romans 1 and verse 18, Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Are you thankful this morning? Were you thankful this past week? Paul tells us that the wrath of God is against people who are unthankful. People that do not give thanks to God for who he is and for what he is doing in their life. God sees ungrateful people, and it stirs his anger and it stirs his wrath. This psalm is about the redeemed, about the redeemed saying so, them giving thanks unto the Lord for he is good. And that's the title of the message, "Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So." Why do the redeemed give thanks this morning? It's because the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. If you look up that word mercy, the Hebrew word is hesed, and it has really just a broad meaning of steadfast love, of faithfulness, of loyalty, of graciousness, of pity. It's just really a deep and a rich and a beautiful word, describing to us our Redeemer and our God. This is who he is. His mercy endures how long? It's forever. It's forever. If you jump down to verse 8 and verse 15, verse 21 and verse 31, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." That word goodness is the same word that's translated mercy back in verse 1, "For his mercy endureth forever." And so, not sure why that translation is different in those verses, but it's the same Hebrew word. And so I just want us to think this morning. Think, make your mind think. Think about God. And think this morning, if you're a child of his, think what God's thoughts are towards you this morning. Think about that. Think about his steadfast love. Think about his faithfulness. Think about his mercy and his kindness. Like, think about it. How good is God? Do you take time to think about our God who is merciful, a God whose mercy will endure forever? Praise God this morning that these are the thoughts of a God that's so big we can't comprehend him, but these are the thoughts towards his people this morning. He loves his people with a love that's unshakable. And so in this psalm, we have four little stories of the redeemed being redeemed. And the psalmist is saying this morning, if you're redeemed, say so. He's looking for a response from us this morning. There should be something coming from our hearts if you are redeemed. Well, verse 3, he says he gathers them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And what does that language make you think of? And I thought about Jesus' words that he was talking, he was telling this parable in Luke chapter 13. And Jesus says at the end of time, he says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Somehow the psalmist had a vision of this. Somehow the psalmist was able to see to the end, and he saw these people coming from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Do you see what the psalmist sees this morning? It doesn't matter what your skin color is this morning. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what country you live in, whether you're from China or from Europe or from Canada or from North America or South America, Africa. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what family you've been born into. If you're redeemed this morning, the redeemed are all saying the same thing this morning. What are they saying? That the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That is the theme of the redeemed. They're praising God. They're thanking God. Remember when you got saved? Remember when you confessed sin? You had something to say. There was words that you wanted to say. Who is a God that can forgive me? Who is a God like this? And so there's praise that comes forth from a heart that's been redeemed, from a heart that has been saved from his affliction and from his trouble. The redeemed say so, that the Lord is good, that his mercy endureth forever. I know God has done something. And we begin speaking about the mercy of God and the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. And some days I can hardly believe it. Like, really, God, you think this towards me? And I know what I've done. But yes, these are God's thoughts to his children this morning. Gratitude. Do you have gratitude? Do I have gratitude for what the Lord has done for me? We should have something on our lips. We should have some words to say. Thankfulness this morning and being grateful, that is what separates a religious man from a true Christian. That is one of the greatest earmarks of someone who has been born again, who has been redeemed, is that there is a song of thankfulness and gratitude that flows out of their lives regardless of the situations that they find themselves in. And I have met people who have been in straight fixes, but yet, even in the midst of that, I wonder how they can be thankful. But they are. They are. They're children of God. That's what God does. And so this morning, I know we have to abide by the facts. And I know we need to have faith in Christ this morning. And we need to keep our feelings based on that. But sometimes that gets too cold and calculated if we go down that road too long. There has to be a balance, but you can't deny the fact this morning that if you're thankful, you're gonna feel good this morning too. It goes hand in hand. Thankfulness and feelings go side by side. It has something to do with how we feel. And so we ask ourselves this morning, is there any response that the psalmist is looking for if you're redeemed this morning? And we can say yes. There is a response this morning, and the response is that there's praise that's coming from our lips and thankfulness. Our families, my family should see that, yeah, Dad, he's happy, he's thankful today. Not because of how things are going today necessarily, but there's something deeper within him. It's okay. Are you ready to say so, that the Lord is good, that his mercy endures forever? Let's move into this first little story that we have in verse 4, description a people. They wandered in the wilderness and in a solitary way, and they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. This is a sinner, a picture of a sinner who is wandering and he's looking for a city to dwell in. Where was he wandering? In the wilderness. It was dry and dusty and hot, and there's no life there. There's death there. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was looking for a city, and he couldn't find the city. It's like going into a store, and you know the thing you want, it's in this store, but you, I don't know if you're like me, but you walk up and down the aisles, and you just can't find it. It's not there. And you get frustrated. Well, it has to be here, but I'm missing it. And it's a picture of sinful people today, of wanderers. They're wandering through the wilderness, and they're looking for something. They know something. They want something, but they can't find it. It's not there. And so they grope, and they grasp, and they fill their lives with things that don't fill them, doesn't meet their need. They're awakened. All of us have a longing for this city. We all long for fulfillment and for a habitation, a place for where we can dwell, where there's peace and safety. This is a desirable place. It's a delightful place. It's a safe place. It's a refuge. It's the paradise of God. We're not talking about New York City this morning. That's not the city that we're looking for. We're looking for the city of God. Think about the men in Scripture that looked for a city. There were men in the Bible who looked for a city. The place where God dwelt. Abraham looked for a city. City who the builder and the maker was God. And so we have a picture of a lost person here, a picture of a person who has gone astray, a picture of a person who has tried this and that, only to find they're still empty, they're still hungry, they're still fainting, and they're still thirsty. They're still in the wilderness. They did not find the city. Verse 4. Solitary way. They feel all by themselves. They're all alone. Nobody understands them. Nobody sees where they are. It's all by themselves. This is a picture of a sad, lonely person. A person who's depressed, who's discouraged, who's distressed. There's no help. There's no one to help. There's no place to find refreshment for their thirsty lips, for their hungry soul, and begin to faint. They're looking for the city that Hebrews talks about in Hebrews chapter 12. The Hebrew writer says this, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, into an innumerable company of angels." This is the city that we're looking for. In Hebrews 11, verse 16, it says, "They desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." This is a city that every person in the world is looking for. But they wander in the wilderness, faint, hungry, and thirsty, unable to find it. The way of sinners, the way of transgressors, it's hard this morning. And it's sad when people choose to remain in a solitary place, in the desert, not able to find the city. And you choose to be satisfied with living this life of wandering. in the desert, not finding your way. Perhaps you're young this morning. I mean, there's lots of things to discover. There's so many cities for us to explore and to find out. There's so much to life. Life is exciting. Life is full. And you're singing at a nursing home this week. And I've thought about that different times, singing in nursing homes. And you see these old folks that are sitting in their wheelchairs. And some of them, you can tell, they don't know who God is. They've never found that city. But there's a look of vacancy and terror and just hopelessness in their eyes. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But you look at old people's faces. They don't know God. There's an emptiness there. But if you were to dial back the clock, what, 50 years? They would have just been married. Life was good. They had so much to discover, so much to do. And they searched for their city all their life, but never found it. And there they are. The end of life. Having not found the city that they looked for. The city of God is where people sit and they experience and they feel and they know the sunshine and the love of God that comes to them. And it gives them courage to keep going. They're filled with a sense of his forgiveness for their sins and awe about who God is. God made us, and he knows what will satisfy us. This is the highest place, this city that we're looking for. It's the city of God. The cities of the world this morning, they will take you in circles and in circles until you get dizzy and you lose your way and you're out of breath. And you're still spinning, and you haven't found what you're looking for yet. That's the cities of this world. Brothers and sisters, can you see this morning? This is where the cities of this world take people. This isn't what Satan wants us to see, but this is the truth this morning. There's nothing in this world that will satisfy the longing of your soul this morning. Well, that's dark, isn't it? But look, there's hope this morning. Look at verse 6. And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and what? He delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. So this morning, brothers and sisters, we hold out hope. If you're in circles this morning, there's hope for you. There's hope for all men. It doesn't matter how far gone you are. There's hope for everyone. All your life you may spend looking for your help this way. Our help doesn't come to our souls this way, but only comes from above. That's where our help comes from. And so you've got to look up, and you've got to cry out to God. And what happens? Christ will come. Christ will come when you cry. He'll deliver. He'll deliver. And what will he do? He'll lead you forth by the right way. No longer in the desert. And he'll lead you on the path that will take you to the city. The city of habitation. The city of God. The New Jerusalem. Thank God this morning for his wondrous love. And for his wondrous works that he has done to the children and for the children of men. He satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. This is the gospel. This is the gospel message this morning to all of us. We know the fixes we get ourselves in, but we need to cry out to God. And God will come. He will always come when we choose to look up. And do you see this morning in verse 5 that they were faint? I don't know how loud they could cry, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how faint you are this morning. All you need to do just to cry out to God. That's all. That's all, and God will come. Doesn't matter how faint and tired and hopeless you feel. And so this morning, the cry does not have to be strong. And if you're wondering, without hope and without God, this is reason enough this morning, right, for us to cry out, for God to come. And God will come and he will help us. We won't be able to shake death off of our tail. We may not have more time. We don't know. No one knows, even today. But if you cry out to God, the Lord is coming. He will deliver. He will do his part always. But we need to cry out. We recognize our need of God, our need of help. And so this morning, if you were once a wanderer, if you were once in this wilderness, if you were once spinning in circles looking for a city, but you have been redeemed, the psalmist is calling for a response from you this morning. And he's saying, say so this morning. The Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That's the response of the redeemed this morning. I'm now on the right way. My soul is satisfied. I find refreshment. There's hope. Let's move on to the second story. Starts in verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Do you see these people? There's a progression here. The first group of people they were wondering about, these people are sitting. These people are sitting in the shadow of death. These people are prisoners of iron. These are people who have rebelled against the word of the Lord. Verse 11. They despise God's words. They despise God's ways. What did God do? He says he brought their heart down with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. I just get a picture of death's hand reaching out for these people this morning. That's the picture I feel. Death's hand is right here. They're in the shadow of death. These people are at the end, and that hand is just reaching for them to take them. That's the picture I see. They're chained with irons, with fetters so tight they no longer have their balance. They fall over. The devil wants to offer us freedom this morning, and he touts his freedom if you follow his ways. But what he doesn't tell you is his ways, as you follow his ways, you're building your own walls to your own dungeon. And those walls will get higher and higher till you begin to feel like there's no way out. This is hopeless. He doesn't tell us that. But that's the truth. You'll become so tight in your sin that you begin to think, you know what, it's not really even, I'm not even going to be able to get rid of this thing ever. I've thought that. And I've also thought, you know, I'm just going to die with this sin in me. Nobody needs to know about it. But that's the most selfish thought in the entire world. There's nothing heroic about that at all. That's selfish. But I know what it's like to be bound by sexual sin, to feel like there's no way out of this. There's no way out. Think, well, you'll live a long time. You might as well enjoy what you have. You know what? It gets tighter and tighter. And the chains will get tighter and tighter on you. They will. Until you get so tight that you're caught and you're snared. You fall over. Sin will harden your heart. You've been lured into a trap. You've been caught. There's none to help. You're burned out. You're tired. Your life's a wreck. And you know what? The devil, he'll laugh and he'll smile about that. That's exactly what he wants. That's the truth of who he is. We need to tell ourselves the truth about some of these things that will help us. But here's the thing. What in verse 13, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and what? He saved them from out of their distresses. Doesn't really matter this morning how dark your life is, or how broken you are, or how messed up you are, or how wrecked you are this morning. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Cry unto the Lord, and the Lord's coming. He's coming. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the promise of our Savior this morning. Satan is a cruel taskmaster. He really is. Jesus is a kind master. What does he do? Jesus, he won't resist your crying. No, he's coming through. And what's he going to do? He's going to break those gates of brass, and he's going to cut the bars of iron in sunder. Do you see the picture of that this morning? That's a wonderful picture, brothers and sisters. Sin can bind us up so tight this morning, but not too tight that the Lord can't break through. He will. He can if we ask him to. He will destroy the thing that will hold us fast. He will set us free this morning. He will do that. He is. He is the bar breaker. He is the one who will set captives free. Jesus will not resist your cry. If this was a picture of you this morning and you're redeemed, the psalmist is saying, brothers and sisters, we need to say something about this, about our God, who he is and how powerful he is and what he's done for us. Let the redeemed say so. This was me. This was who I was. Let's move on to the third story. Verse 17. These are fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. This is the third picture of sinners this morning. People who, through their own rebellion, through their own choices, are suffering just unimaginable things. In the first story we had, the people were hungry. They're looking for something to eat. In this story, these people aren't even hungry. Their soul, just food doesn't even satisfy them. They abhor meat. They can get to a place, nothing will satisfy them. They're near to death. These people are diseased. In verse 20, Christ will heal them. These people had sickness. These people were in affliction. They were injured. This was sicknesses and diseases that they brought upon themselves because of their wickedness and because of their lifestyles that they lived. A couple months back, Brother Tarn and I were in Lancaster, walking through the city, talking to people about Jesus, and I circled the homeless camp a number of times there and talked to a number of people. And I went back in on Sunday, again, because I was going to meet somebody. I was suspicious they weren't going to be there, but there I was. But it was so different Sunday afternoon when I stopped in there. I didn't meet the people I was looking for. I couldn't find them. But that little homeless shelter, they were all there, all laying around, just all not even able to talk. They were bound up in chains so tight, and they were destroying their bodies with sickness and disease. This is who these people were. And I couldn't help but feel sorry for these people, but there's hope for these people too, right? This is what the scripture holds forth for us this morning, that there's hope for even these people who have destroyed themselves. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6, it says, another description of sinful people, it says, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up or mollified with ointment. This is the end of people who have gone their own courses, who have gone their own ways, and have been tied up and bound by the devices that have caught them and destroyed them. This is a picture of these people this morning. Death is also near to these people, but look. Verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. I don't know if you ever found yourself in a place like this. But if you have this morning, the psalmist is calling for you. If you have experienced the depths of sin such as this, and you have found redemption, he's calling for us to shout it out this morning. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever, and he will heal us. And he will save us from our afflictions and from our own destructions. He will send his word. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works, the children of men. God is good, and he will save all who call upon him, no matter of their condition and of their plight. Praise the Lord this morning. And they will begin to offer up what sacrifices of thanksgiving, verse 22 says. This is just tremendous picture of what Christ can do for those who have been bound in the grips of sin. The fourth story, in verse 23, it's a picture of those who are in troubled waters this morning. They go down to the sea in ships, and they do business in great waters. And we see the picture of folks in a boat out on the ocean with a bad storm. The wind is howling. The waves are crashing all the way up to heaven. This is a tremendous storm. These people are in an evil plight. They reel to and fro. Their soul is melted. It's a picture of a man who finds himself, just his life is really out of control. And he feels like he's going this way, and then he's going that way, and then up again and back again. It's all this movement, and he doesn't know how to get out of it. This is a storm he can't fix himself. So you have storms that come into your life. The howling winds and the raging waves. They're like storms of lust. They're like storms of anger. Storms of envy. Storms. People doing things to us, treating us in ways we don't like. Storms of sickness, storms of accidents, storms in our finances. There's so many things that can make us reel to and fro this morning. We know that we're not in control of our lives. God is. It's one thing for certain. One thing for certain about this life is that you and I don't own a thing here. We own our sin, but that's all. What happens to these people? They cry unto the Lord. He brings them unto their desired haven. He makes the waves to be still, the storm to calm. The Lord again shows up. And he will help people in distresses like this morning who are reeling to and fro this morning that don't know where to turn no more. I don't know what to do. My life is just out of control. And you're at your wit's end, and you're going to sink. And you see the next wave, it's coming. This is the final wave. But no, the storm can be calmed this morning. The storm can be put to rest. The waves can be stilled. There's still hope for you this morning. If you're in this picture this morning, if you feel like you're reeling to and fro, there's hope for you too. Cry unto the Lord. And the Lord again will come, and he will bring you out of your distress. He will do that. I hope this isn't vain repetition to you this morning, but this is who our God is. This is what our God can do this morning. This is the power of the God that you and I serve. Do we even get glimpses of this power, even in our own lives? It's like that thief on the cross. He's dying, and he knows he's dying, and they're about to break his legs, and he knows he's a thief, and he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "I'll remember you." It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter how close you are to the end this morning, but the Lord will come. The Lord will remember you. He will. It's I. Don't be afraid. He'll call out over the storm. His voice will go above the storm, and he'll quiet it. We sing the song, "Hide Me. Oh, my Savior, hide me till the storms of life are past." This is a psalm this morning of thanksgiving. I don't know if you can picture yourself in any of these pictures, but if you're redeemed this morning, you should picture yourself in at least one or two of these pictures, that this was who I was. This is who I was. And if you're redeemed this morning, call it out. Call it out. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works, the children of men. So this morning, thank God for his mercy to all of us. Thank God for his mercy. We won't be able to thank him enough for his mercy. If you've experienced a storm, but now you're experiencing the peace that comes when the storm has been stilled, thank God this morning for the peace that flows deep out of your heart. There's peace like a river that can come. Yes, this world is uncertain. Absolutely. Yes, we will experience sickness and death. Yes. Yes, we will have hard things to endure. There'll be trials that come this morning. But this is the God who we're serving. And he will bring us to the city that we're looking for. He will bring us to our desired haven. He'll never leave us or forsake us. This morning, you and I can have a peace that nothing here can shake. No storm can shake my inmost calm while to that rock I'm clinging. So this morning, if you're a child of his, if you're a child of his this morning, leave here and continue your life in an overflow of thanksgiving for what God has done for me and for you. And when you meet people who have been bound in sin and in darkness, hold out hope for them. There's hope. All we need to do is cry, and the Lord will come, and he will save us. May God help us. May God give you courage and grace to be a light, give the message of hope to a world that is bound by sin and darkness. Let's kneel for prayer.